That was just amazing. I mean, really. And I pictured, like, Joe watching his family up there going, holy cow, right? How does all this good come into our life? It is really amazing. It is. And sometimes we can really feel like we're doing it all wrong. We didn't coordinate the opening prayer with that song at all. But it's very true. Like, we can feel like things are falling apart when actually they're falling together. But when we believe that things are falling apart, we notice that we move into fear. And our energy is diminished. And that's one of the big clues. It's like, it's kind of a play on word, your inner chi. Your chi is your life force that is in all things, and it's a Chinese word. And it's spelled Q-I sometimes, it's spelled C-H-I, but it's pronounced chi. So I was saying, how do we reconnect and how do we regain our inner chi when we lose it, when we feel like we've lost ourselves? And it's very easy to do that, to find yourself in that position. And I found that the easiest way, and we've talked about this many times, is when it looks like something bad is going on, to say, I don't know how this could possibly be doing this, but I trust that somehow it is unfolding me to my good, to who I am and what I'm supposed to be. It's really opening me up to a new song that makes so much sense. And when I get in that spot, it's like, holy cow, something I created out of this lets me know that I haven't lost you. I have an angel now. I have more guidance now than I had before. And it's interesting that the opening song, I went downstairs just to adjust the lighting, which you probably noticed went off for a minute or something. I'm really good at this. Got the whole electrical thing down. But I went down there, and it was so funny because Harry has come into our life and our wonderful sound person. I was able to move out there, and I didn't miss any part of the song. I went downstairs. The sound is glorious downstairs. It's glorious. And if you heard any noise, it was because the mothers were downstairs dancing with their children on the stage. And so it was great because I could go down there and dance with them for a little bit and then come back up here. And it was like, how does this all happen? You know, it's just so great. And I know they can hear me right now down there. So it's really wonderful because the parents don't have to miss the talk. They don't have to miss anything, and they don't have to miss time with their children. And it's just great. So I had the wonderful experience of talking to Karen the other day on the phone. And Karen and Rich live in that floodplain, and their house, the water came up to the basement. Then I think it came up to the second floor, window high. They moved out, and they had a place to stay. But she was sharing with me how it's amazing that she and Rich never had one argument during the whole thing, which normally they fight constantly. Just teasing. That she actually felt like it brought them closer together. And that they had a place to stay because, you know, I said, hey, you can come stay at my place. Wherever. They had a place to stay, which was out where they needed to be. And their son went to stay with his friend, whose mother's a counselor. And she said, it's so amazing. It's like she starts setting up job interviews for him. So he's got these job interviews now. And then somebody, I don't know if it was a friend or a sister, took the dog, and she's training the dog. And it's like, I said, that's like a flood of good. And the insurance adjuster came, and they're giving us the absolute highest amount. And we will have a new, improved place when this is over. Exactly. Because if we can get out of fear and say something like, I know you're taking care of me. I know this is unfolding to good. I know this is... Then we allow that energy to do its work. We don't get in the way of it. It's our stories that get in the way of everything. Really, everything we have, everything in this life is a story. It really is. And that's why sometimes I will say the presence, our love, our spirit instead of God, because some people lived in a story where the God was very judgmental and condemning and that became afraid of that God. And so they had to come up with another name for it, right? Mother. Some people love to say mother because they feel like that's more nurturing and what it needs a balance, because in our old stories it was not the masculine and feminine energy, it was just the one energy. One trumped the other energy, it seemed like, in those stories. Now we know that's not true. The life force is within all things everywhere. It's planted within us. The difference between us and the flower that wants to fully express is that we have choice. The flower doesn't say, I don't really think I'm going to go hang out with these weeds over here. They don't choose to do that. But we may sometimes put obstacles in our path in our stories. And that's why the Sunday that, right after the terrorist attack in California, I said, I know what the stories are that are being generated out there. And I know that the solution seems to be violence, to counter the violence. But if we stop and think, these are people living in a story. They're living in a story that martyrdom is good, that if they've never done anything important in their lives, this is important, this is an important cause, and that's what's motivating them. There's no amount of weapons or security that will address that. That will only make it worse. That's the cause. Martyrs love persecution. That's feeding the story. Does that make sense? What if instead we are responsible for ourselves having a story where people begin to feel the love that is all around them? If they could all of a sudden feel that there's something beyond a story that is nurturing them. This is why gangs form. You ask people, why are you in a gang? It's a sense of family. I feel like I belong. The answer isn't violence against gangs. It's a sense of belonging, right? So we can look out at the world and say, this is what's going on. Their stories are messed up. But the good thing is we get to stay within ourselves and say, where's my energy? What happened? I just don't seem to have any drive or passion or energy anymore. What's going on with me? The good thing is to know all we got to do is look at the story that we've been telling ourselves. What's our story? What story is draining us? So when I was working on this, I was looking up quotes that I could put in here. And I thought, you know, I bet there's something in those journals that you've written forever. Why don't you go in the other room and pick up a journal and see what page you open it up to? So I did. I picked up the journal, and that's what I picked it up. It was about energy. And it was about if you feel like you don't have any energy, it's because you're pushing uphill. You're moving in the wrong direction. You're trying to make something happen that isn't supposed to happen. But you can make it happen. But the truth of the matter is, unless it's yours, you will not be able to keep it. And I think that's so important to understand. We all have our good. It's overflowing. But if it's somebody else's good that we're trying to take, we won't be able to keep it. Because we already have our own good. Does that make sense? So a lot of times, our story is that somebody else is wrong and we're right. And when we do that, and when we stop and think, what if I am just pure, creative, loving energy? What if that's all I am? And I've now made somebody else wrong. Then what's going to happen to that pure, loving, flowing, creative energy? What if I'm angry at somebody and I'm justified in that anger because of the story I just told myself? I'm totally justified. Then what I've done is I put up a block to that one person. They may feel it, but I will feel it. The life force now is getting blocked in me. And the more people I add to that list, the more of the energy that is blocked within me. And sometimes when we block enough of the energy and we block it long enough, it actually physically has to go somewhere. So it kind of turns against us. It actually causes us to have physical issues. And we could say, something really bad is going on here. Or we can say, somebody's trying to get my attention. And all I got to do is edit my story and I'll get my energy back again. Most of us don't lose our energy all at once. It's like, oh, that happened. Energy's gone. We usually lose it a little bit at a time by selling off pieces of ourselves. And you really don't know that you've sold off as much as you have until all of a sudden you make a major shift or change and you find yourself thinking, I'm back. I'm back. Or people come up and say, I don't know what's happened, but you're back. And I've done that many times in my life. And you can beat up on yourself many times in my life. You can beat up on yourself and say, I'm doing this wrong. Or you can say, I'm in a wonderful lesson of love. I'm actually immersed in this creative, loving energy. And I'm learning as I go along. I'm learning what stories of lack, fear, guilt I've been living in, and to let them go. And I do that by saying, what have I learned from this? And what would I have learned without this? Because when we can discover what it is we learned, we now receive a gift. When we don't believe it's our lesson and that it's their lesson, there is no gift received. We are sacred beings. And I said a few weeks ago that I really believe that when we came in here, God, Spirit, Love whispered into our ear, take care of this one. And it wasn't for our parents to take care of us. It was for us to take care of that little one that's within us. That pure one, that one that hasn't been tainted by stories. We're in charge. We're in charge of that one and how much joy and love and peace can come into that one's life. We're in charge. And so when we choose good, loving relationships, we're taking care of that little one. When we choose work, whether it's paid for or not paid for, that we love, we're taking care of that little one. When we take care of that little one, we get all the energy of that little one. And sometimes when I'm talking to people in this place, I know I am preaching to the choir because joy just comes out of us when we're together. We always will know our perfect match for whoever's supposed to come in our life, just like she said, the perfect people, because of our energy. We'll know our family because of our energy. And they may not have any bloodline attached to us, but we'll know them. As it says in the Bible, before I placed you in the womb, I knew you. We are known. We are known by something that nobody else could possibly know better. It's within us, and it desires to express through us and as us, and we're partnering in this thing. We are the rose that desires to blossom. That's where the energy is. Who are you? Find that out. That's where the energy is. And every time we sell off a little piece of who we are, that's where the energy goes. How do we get it back? We go back to who we are. the unique being that we are that nobody else can be like. It's a sacred journey. And nothing we've done is wrong. That's so hard for our personality. It's like, oh, I'm so stupid. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have done that. But this is a physical human experience that a soul is having, and we have an inner teacher. And how do we learn? We can think we learn from books, and we could study it all of our lives. But the only thing that gets our attention is the experience. And what the experience really is how much energy do you have? How much energy are you allowing to flow through you? You can row upstream, or you can just turn around and flow downstream. You can do it the easy way or the hard way. We try the hard way, and then the next time, we try the hard way again. And then the next time, we try the hard way again. And then again, and again, and again, and again. And one day we say, you know what? I don't care anymore. And all of a sudden, everything goes, whoa, hello. You're back. You're back. So anyway, that's what I wanted to talk about today. Thank you.